Good morning, church. The title of this sermon is Before the Storm Comes. Have you ever been in a storm? A very violent one, not the same as last week when a little storm at home, but a real storm, like a hurricane. That you have to flee from house, that you have to shore up your house against the coming storm, and that you see all kinds of things flying around you. Well, there is a storm coming. The Bible says to us in Revelation chapter 7 that there is a very big storm coming indeed. And angels are holding back the winds. And this storm is not so like a physical storm. It's more like a spiritual storm. Things are going to be so strange that people don't know what to do. Meaning, people who are not sealed by the seal of God in their foreheads. What is Revelation 7 speaking about? Let's go again back to Revelation 7 verse 1. Revelation 7 verse 1. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind shall not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. Verse 3, very important, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed thy servants of God in their four hands with the seal of God. Meaning that they have been steadfast in faith when they have made a decision before the storm comes. Well, how do you know that a storm is coming? And now I'm talking about a physical storm, like a hurricane or a big storm. Well, you listen to the weather report, because there are experts who know what the conditions of the winds and nature will be, and they can explain by prediction when a storm is coming. We often listen to the weather reports to know what the weather is going to do, so that we can make good decisions. Well, not only listen we to the experts, we also look to signs in nature that something cataclysmic is going to happen. Well, when a big storm comes, you often notice that the birds are starting to fly away, the dog starts barking, like signs to know that something is going to happen, and that maybe you should prepare yourself for what is about to happen. Well, with that big spiritual storm that Revelation 7 is speaking about, we can expect the same. We also need to look at the signs. Listen to what Jesus said to the disciples on the Mount of Olives. He said this in Matthew 24 verse 32. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender, and put it on four leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you see all these things happen, wars, rumors of wars, cold love, lukewarm faith, then you know that the end is near, even at the door. So you can look at the signs and the condition of this world, just put on your TV or your radio or the internet, and you see in what kind of condition the earth is. But the Lord has also given his experts, or better said, his prophets. Didn't Amos say in Amos 3, verse 7, that he said, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So you know that a big spiritual storm is coming by looking at the signs and listening to the prophets who speak to us from the word of God in the spirit of prophecy. Do you look at the signs? And do you take heed of the Lord's prophets? So, when a storm comes, what do you do? Firstly, you need to prepare yourself and your household for the coming storm. You need to find shelter, or in the most extreme case, flee from that dangerous place where the storm is going to happen. When you found yourself a shelter, when you prepared yourself and your household, then you want to have as much people as possible to be saved from the coming calamities. So what do? You go into warn your family, your friends, and even strangers, say to them, watch out, there is a storm coming, you need to be safe. In the worst case, you can even come into my house because I have a shelter. And I found a shelter. And after you did all the preparations before the storm, brothers and sisters, when the storm finally arrives, we need to endure. So if we know that we need to prepare for the physical storm, a hurricane, what can we do? Well, we try to look for material that we can shore up our houses. We look for a rope that we can put everything secure to the ground. And we create a place where we can be safe, our family members can be safe, and even the strangers that comes by. But how are we protected when those four angels let the winds loose? Well, are we praying? Are we studying daily our Bibles? Are we guarding our heart against sinfulness? Are we become steadfast in our personal faith life? Because, brothers and sisters, preparation for a storm is always done before a storm. You cannot prepare for a storm when the winds are raging all around you. So it's high time that we find a shelter where we can be safe. A shelter with God. And where we know what we can do when we have to hide. Listen to the words of Paul in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1, where Paul writes, I, therefore the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the convocation wherewith you are called. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. It's clear, we have to walk in life, in good times and in bad times, with Christ, having a Christian lifestyle. A lifestyle that reflects the will of the Lord in our lives. And if you love Christ, of course you have to love and hold His commandments. Or maybe we are not that sure about the destination we are walking on these days. That we don't know where to find shelter for the coming calamities and the coming storms. And that's why Paul warns Christians, to the Ephesians, but also us, in verse 14 of the same chapter, where Paul writes, that we henceforth be more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Every wind of doctrine. Brothers and sisters, these days a lot of doctrines are flying about literally. Everybody these days has seen build their own faith life, their own consecration, their own things that they find themselves good or not good. Remember what Peter said in 2 Peter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Verse 2. And many people shall follow their precarious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be spoken evil of. A lot of false doctrines. If you don't know where you have to find shelter in your personal faith life, if you don't know that in all kinds of situations, in all kinds of distress, in good times and in bad times, can find shelter with the Lord, you're going to follow a lot of false doctrines. I even spoken with people lately that when they corrupt their own faith life, make their own rules, and something cataclysmic happen in their personal lives, like the loss of a loved one, that all those false winds they adhere to make their lives what they call in this world a living hell, because they didn't know where to find rest, where to find shelter for the little storm in their life, in their sense big storm, but in the little storms of their lives. If you don't know where to go now, do you know where to go when the storms are let loose? There are strong winds of doctrine going around, and the foretaste of the confusion will overcome this world when the angels with the four leaves loose. Find shelter with Christ, brothers and sisters. You trusted in Him when you were baptized. You trusted the Word even when you had problems, maybe at work, maybe at the family. You knew where to go in those times. Hold fast to that belief, brothers and sisters. If you know where to find Christ now, you surely, if you keep on to His faith and His Word and His love, you know where to go when the winds are blowing. Trust the Word in the little problems of your life. Then you're able, when the big problems come, to remember those times in the past that He holds your faith in check. Brothers and sisters, before the storm, we need to know how to live firm lives. Stand upon the rock. And then he will say that we not only have to learn to stand upon the rock, but we must be grounded in the rock, my dear brothers and sisters. Christ's righteousness must be put on. We must love Christ more than anything else this world can conjure up. These days, people like entertainment. And when they miss their favorite program on TV, they will do everything to see that program back. So this world invented something like the VCR, the video recorder, that they can take off their favorite showing so that they never have to miss that thing that they like to watch. Brothers and sisters, do we do that the same with our Bible study? Do we do the same to go to prayer meeting every Wednesday evening? Is our love for Christ so big, so steadfast, that nothing can blow us off course? That's why it's very important that we are renewed in our thinking, just as Paul said to the Romans in chapter 12. Renewed in our thinking. May Psalm 61 be our prayer, my dear brothers and sisters, where David says, "Hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than high. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." Are we looking, are we searching for that shelter that is higher than high? That place that is so safe, so good, that when a storm comes, you won't be distracted. That when a storm of false doctrine comes, you will say, "Now I'm standing on the rock and I'm higher than high, and I don't have to worry for the things around me because I trust the words of the Lord." Noah built a shelter. We know the name of the shelter is the ark. He knew that a storm was coming because the Lord gave them to him through prophecy. And what did Noah do? He started to prepare, build a place of shelter for him and his household. Noah started to build a shelter and started to warn other people. We call that warning these days evangelism. Telling people about the good news that people can be saved from a very big storm. Well, how did the people react when Noah preached about the storm? Were they happy and enthusiastic and saying, "Oh, thank you for the good message of warning from a storm, and we see that ark where we can be saved"? Well, they were laughing at Noah. The message of Noah, they found, was complete nonsense. But when it started to rain, when the first drops of rain started to pour down from the heavens above, people started doubting. Was Noah right? Or was he wrong? And when it started to rain, the door shut. For before it started to rain, the door shut. And people were thinking, was he right or was he wrong? Brothers and sisters, a decision for Christ you make before the storm. A lot of evangelical Christians these days learn that when the storm arrives, you can still choose. It's the message of Tim LaHaye's book, I forgot the name of the book. I forgot. Maybe I'll come back later on. It's a very well-known series of books. They make even movies about it. Yes, Left Behind. Where people say that all the Christians who choose Christ, they suddenly disappear. And then those Christians that have like a lost their faith life, well, there is a storm coming, but you can still endure a storm when you're there. But the Bible teaches us you have to choose Christ before the storm. That's why Jesus is saying us, you want to warn people, evangelize, now. Don't wait until the storm comes to proclaim the name of Christ. Do we go to the ark to be saved for the coming storm? Do we have to see with our own eyes and hear with our own ears that our final moments of Earth's history have begun before we accept grace and mercy from Christ? We need to go to the living ark right now. Don't delay. We need to accept Jesus with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all our souls and spirits. Today, before the storms comes. We need to pray like David prayed in Psalm 55. David prays to be saved from the people who say that it is not necessary to become saved for coming storm. To be saved from people who make fun of our faith. About going to church. And about loving your first love, that's Jesus Christ, first. Psalm 55 verse 1. Where he says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, please, and hear on me. I mourn in my complaint, and I make a noise, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and wrapped they hate me." Just imagine how Noah must have felt. Preaching a warning for message. You can be saved, you can be saved, you can be saved. And people say, "Oh no, Noah, what you saying? There's no rain, there's no problem, we have a good life." The same thing right now in the days of Laodicea. We come and bring a message of love, hope and meaning to this dying world, and we say, "You can be saved, you can be saved, there is a storm coming." And people say, "Well, I see problems with the euro, but our leaders will fix it. I see problems in nature, but they will find a way." But our Bible clearly says you need to find shelter in a proper place, and that's with Christ. And that's why David says in verse 6 of Psalm 55, "And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away from the dangerous place, and be at rest. 7. Lo, then would I walk for wander far off, and remain in the wilderness. flee again from the dangerous places, leave the place of wickedness and destruction, leave the place of persecution. Verse 8, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Are we doing right now what is needed before the storm? Some people these days give blame to all the calamities in the world to our Lord and Savior. And they say that God is a terrible God because he let it winds and rains and storm in this world, and they blame God for all the situation right now. They say, why Lord, why don't you fix these problems and keep us safe? But people don't fear the storm, they fear the judgment. They fear that God is not giving them the things that they need in their lives. Just look at how Elijah had to deal when he was thinking where God really was, if God really was with him these days. 1 Kings 19, verse 11, where Elijah was hiding from Jezebel in a cave, not knowing what to do, feeling all alone. He was all alone in worshiping the Lord, he was thinking by himself. And the Lord wanted to realize him for something. And in verse 11, he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was in a small voice. People rather listen to the winds and calamities of this world than to the still, small voice of the Lord speaking to us, saying, you can be safe. You can be safe with me. People look to the winds and the storms of the coming calamity upon this world and they get afraid. In Greece, we all know that there is a lot of economic problem in Europe and especially in Greece at the moment. And a father who was married, of course, and had a large family, worked years and years to provide for his family. And he did his best, he did his utmost. And then the problems came. A little storm, as it were. And he was so distressed that he couldn't take care for his family. He was so afraid of the problems, not seeing a way out, that the only thing he could do is take his own life. And that was, for him, a big storm, but the Bible says it's a small storm compared to that what is coming. People these days like to listen to the wrong answers. Listen to the wrong voices. The false winds, they see problems. They see wars, they see violence, decline of moral values. And they, instead of God, they go to fortune tellers, magicians, horoscopes. But brothers and sisters, if you listen and go for wrong voices and false winds, that will most definitely lead to wrong actions. If you rather listen to those voices, you certainly lose your final destination, the place where we finally belong, the New Jerusalem. But we know where we can find the answer, my dear brothers and sisters, in the true tabernacle with Jesus. He is our answer. He is our still small voice, as his Spirit leads us to Christ. So, we know how to prepare. We know that it is important to find shelter at the right places. So what are we going to do with the warning, the same thing that Noah did? We are prepared in our hearts for a coming storm, and we are beginning to be grounded in the Word, the Bible. And still, Paul said, it isn't going to be an easy job warning people. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Where Paul writes to Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We need to warn people. If just suppose that there was a literal hurricane coming to Holland, that you heard it on the news, and you heard about coming calamity, what you're going to do? You're going to go to your neighbor and say, there's a big hurricane coming, you have to be safe. But we're not always sure about how the people will react. Not all people will accept the warning message you're really giving them. Not everybody will see the wind or the storms, and they're going away from your message. That's why we can find in Jeremiah 22 the following. The Lord is warning Israel. The Lord is warning Israel that they turned away from God. And God is pleading to Israel, return back to me, return back to the I Am. And in Jeremiah 22, verse 21, the Lord says to Jeremiah, I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, in the good times, but thou said, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that they obeyest not my voice. The Lord is pleading to Israel, you know the message, you know the truth, come back to me, I've been warning you from you out like you were a little child. But you didn't hearken unto my voice. Verse 22, but the wind shall eat up, and all thy pastors and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. And the Lord cried out in verse 29, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is saying to everybody, us, but also the people here in Forward and in The Hague and surrounding places, it's time that you listen to this message. And he's saying this first to his beloved people, Israel. He's saying this to the church first. It's time to warn people. It's time to accept my message. Don't be tossed to and fro by false doctrine, but be grounded on the rock. Know where you stand. If you prepared, because you knew a storm was coming, if you build a shelter, be grounded in the Word of God, if you start to proclaim this message to one and warn people, and then the storm comes. So, what will be our first reaction when we as believers notice that the winds are slowly being let loose by those four angels? How do we as Christians react as we feel the coming chills, the starting soft breezes that are slowly and hardly building up from those storms? What do we do if we slowly see those effects of the Sunday law coming to fall into effect? I don't know if you know, but in the country of Hungary, they have new laws, started the 1st of January this year, where Adventists are no longer a registered church. here in Europe, and to be accepted as a registered church, 2/3 of the parliament has to approve you being a church. So it's hardly impossible, but through the mediation of the Lord, of course, everything is possible, but it's hardly, human self, impossible to become a registered church. So the church in Hungary is illegal. What do you do when those kind of conditions may happen to your own personal faith life in the own place where you live? What do you do? Are you at that moment going to think by yourself, oh, I didn't prepare, oh, I didn't build a shelter, oh, I never warned somebody, how can I endure a storm? What are we going to do when we cannot buy and sell? When our bank accounts, the numbers on the bank accounts quickly turn to red, below the zero. What we do if being a faithful Christian according to the word of God isn't accepted by the public in general? Have we been prepared enough? Do we know where our shelter is? Have we really found a hiding place? What do we do when the storm comes? Let's go as last item to the book of Mark, chapter 4. We know about Jesus and the disciples proclaiming the message to the world, a message of love, hope, forgiveness, healing the sick, saying to the people, come back to the kingdom of hope of God. And in Matthew 4, verse 37, they were on a ship. 37 of Mark 4. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that now it was full. Well, there might be circumstances and situations that will come that will test our faith. Sometimes we'll be wondering and praying why Jesus doesn't answer our prayers when the storms start to come. I have seen people turn away from Christ. People who in their lives, in the earlier days said, we will endure the time of the end. We will endure a Sunday law and will endure persecution. But they left the church because they couldn't endure their brothers and sisters. They couldn't endure because their prayer wasn't answered the way how prayer supposed by them had to be answered. How is our faith life before the storm? Verse 38. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And then the disciples, who saw the storm and the problems and the winds, and they become distressed and say, Master, carest thou not but that we perish? Sometimes when we notice that the winds are being let loose all around us, if Jesus really do care what kind of situation we're in. In all these days there is a big problem with pensions, and a lot of pensions for people who worked 40 or 50 years is slowly but gradually taken away. And then those people ask themselves, I've been a good worker all these lives. I've worked so hard and diligently. I've never been a bad person. How could the Lord allow that my pension is taken away from me? And they wonder then by themselves, why is the Lord allowing this? Why does he hold back those four winds a little while longer? Verse 39. And Jesus arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. When those four winds are let loose, confusion, That is not even the right word. Meplum, craziness, will engulf this planet when people will run to and fro, seeking God, finding words of comfort and hope, but will not find it. And we, as Christians, who will be sealed in their foreheads, will God abandon us when those four winds are let loose? Did he abandon Noah when the rain was falling down and he was in the ark? No. Will Jesus abandon us when the biggest spiritual storm will engulf this planet as never seen before in the history of mankind? When those four winds are finally set loose? No, brothers and sisters, not no. Jesus' love, his word will protect his own and take us safely home. We can be assured that he who has kept us safe before the storm will help us endure through the storm. Verse 40 of Mark 4. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith, said Jesus to the disciples. Brothers and sisters, you can prepare for a storm before the storm. You can warn other people before the storm. You can have all the knowledge of the Bible, know everything that is needed to be known, but if you are not grounded in the Word, if you didn't put on Christ righteousness, if you didn't have that life-changing, steadfast faith, then it will be a hard time to endure through the storm. When the Apostle Paul was on his way to Crete in Acts 27, a large storm was coming. And all the people on the ship again was very afraid of what was going on. We're going to perish. Paul, some time earlier, was in prison. And the Lord said to Paul in prison, be steadfast. You must bring the message to the Christians in Rome. You will endure. On the ship before the storm, the angel says, you're going to endure. You're not going to perish here. You have a work to do. And then Paul could say to his fellow men on the ship, Acts 27:25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. Brothers and sisters, before the storm, we can see the signs of the times we're living in. Before the storm, we can listen to experts who have a close relationship with Christ and know that we need to prepare ourselves before the storm. Before the storm, we need to find shelter and know that the shelter that is given to us through the Word of God, with God, is safe. Before the storm, we need to warn our fellow men. Because if we know where to be before the storm, the Lord will help us to endure the storm if we have faith. Do we, my dear brothers and sisters, believe God as the Word has spoken to us? Do we believe that if we love Jesus and God's work, that we will endure the storm? We will, my dear brothers and sisters, just believe God that it shall be as it is written. Have faith. saving faith. We may endure, my brothers and sisters, but believe now before the storm. Amen.